We tried to record a podcast back in Indiana, but the road noise was too loud, so we decided to redo it. So an update from the last podcast, which was in your mom's basement after off-grid when we were getting everything set up to where we are now.
And right now, we're in the north part of the Rocky Mountains, and it's awesome.
Something Linnea has been craving for a long time.
A long freaking time, and I'm never letting that happen ever again.
So basically what happened after, like, including off-grid, we were in the Midwest for 9 months, south a little bit in Florida, and then in the Midwest, then Kansas, but we'll go into a little bit of detail here. So right after off-grid, we went down to Florida, visited your brother Noah, met a bunch of really cool people, did some fishing, kind of thawed out from the winter, I think,
and
is the best way to put it.
For about 4 weeks.
Yeah, the original plan was what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, the original plan was 2 weeks, but we had such a great time, and we were doing so much awesome fishing. There were amazing people that we really connected with, and so we stayed an extra, I feel like we stayed an extra week or two.
I think it was 2 weeks.
Okay, we stayed an extra 2 weeks.
So really loved it down there.
Ooh, also, a fun thing about this, if you're not a follower over on my page, about 2 years ago, Noah and I built out a 7x14 Mirage cargo trailer, and we got to sleep and stay in the cargo trailer, which was so cool because that was what Noah and I built together, and it's so cozy and wonderful, and it had AC, which is why we were able to be in Florida. Otherwise, with the van, we wouldn't have been able to, and we were in the Keys, so yeah, we wouldn't have been able to survive the Keys in the van.
Especially the dogs, and just having the option of leaving the dogs in AC and not having to worry about them. But it's a really cool cargo trailer build. We'll have to have it on Tiny Home Tours eventually. But
once it finishes the shower.
Yeah, but it has a elevator bed in the back. It's a really cool build. And then obviously with the cargo trailer, the whole back folds down to where the bed is, so you just can be out, like, just be outside while you're in your camper.
It's like a little porch. The back, yeah, that folds down. It has these little feet, and it can be a porch. It's so cool. It's so cool. I love it.
So I really loved it down there. Like, people for sure, but the food, like, going out to eat in spots, like, we didn't go out every night, but the restaurants were pretty cool there. And then also the fishing. Like, the fishing was so fun. So where Noah worked, her brother, he's living on a boat, and it was right on a canal leading out to the ocean. And
it was right in, like, a bunch of mangroves. So there are mangrove tunnels near there too, so we, yeah, had both, like, the ocean, and then we could stay in, like, the protected mangrove tunnels, which both have very different kind of ecosystems.
But it was cool being on the boat. Like, you just throw some shrimp on a hook, cast off the boat, and snapper, pinfish were out there. Sometimes you'd be fishing and a manatee would just go by. Little baby sharks down there. Like, it was just so cool. Just even fishing right there. And then we'd go out on kayaks.
Crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
We saw two or three
while we were there. I don't remember, but they'd just be floating by.
Yeah, beautiful. And before people go ahead and fill the comments with, there are no crocodiles in our country. Yes, there are. There are crocodiles in the Florida Keys. Just had to say that, because every time I say crocodiles, people say there are no crocodiles, but I promise you there are. I saw them with my own two eyeballs. Okay, so there are these huge fish. They look like little dinosaurs, and they're called tarpons. And back in the mangroves one night, so think of, like, literally like a little tunnel forest, and it starts getting dark. We were fishing and we were doing great. We were catching like grunts and snapper and just some fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the sun goes down and I have my headlamp on, and I look down in the water and I see all of these, like, creepy red eyes swimming up the channel, because of course the tide is moving out. And so as the tide is moving out, these smaller tarpon, and by smaller, like, a foot and a half, are going up this channel. And it was like the most eerie, fascinating thing to look down into this dark water and just see, like, 7 to 12 pairs of eyes swimming by. And yeah, we were catching them, and it was so crazy because they jump and they flip out of the air. Oh my gosh, it was so cool. I was like, I'm really excitable, and I was just so excited.
Oh, it was super fun.
It was so crazy.
They're more of a sport fish. I think, like, by law, you can't harvest them, I believe, unless you have a special permit. Mm-hmm. But so this one, like Linnea said, we were catching small ones, which are like a foot and a half, and they were so fun to catch. And yeah, with little red eyes, like you just throw shrimp in, and we're in kayaks, and you just see like where your line is, and little red eyes just slowly following your bait, deciding if they're gonna eat it or not. So that was super fun. And then Noah also would take us out on a boat late at night, and then we never landed a big tarpon, but we had some. It was either sharks or tarpon on the line. And unfortunately, when they were hitting one time when we were out there, we didn't have the right tackle.
Yeah.
They just snapped the line so quick. Like, they were just monster fish. And then another fun thing, fishing-wise, learned how to cast net out there. They have these types of fish. What were they called? The fish always on the top.
Yeah.
Mullet. So, they were just...
Which apparently are really good eating in other places where the fishing isn't as good, but they treat them as bait fish in the Keys.
And speaking of like the tarpon and sharks, you would put a whole mullet on there and just cast it out at night and see what bit. But learn how to cast net from the boat as well. And that was super fun. Like, it took a while to get figured out. But once I got it, it was literally like hunting. Like, you would cast and then you'd hopefully get a couple. And then they'd kind of leave and you just kind of wait for them to come back up. And you're just up there really quiet, ready to cast. You start getting nervous, like, okay, they're back. I hope I have a good cast this time. So that was super fun. But overall, that was the first time for me hanging out in the Keys. When I had my very first camper van way back in the day, I did go down to the bottom of the Keys. But being that there was no place to park, I just went down to the very southern part of the Keys and just bounced back up. Because it just wasn't conducive to camper van life, and it still kind of isn't. We just kind of got lucky with the situation we had.
Yeah, for sure. I would never go down there with the van, expect to have a good time, to be honest.
I mean, if you spend $120 a night in an RV park.
Hell no. I don't even spend that much in a month for camping.
$120 plus. Anything else with Florida?
No, I think I had a little bit of a hard time at the end, just because, like, this is my paradise right here, and Florida was quite congested. Like, there's just a lot. Obviously, being on an island, too. Like, we knew that going into it, but it really did affect me. Feeling pretty claustrophobic, and Akilah couldn't be off-leash and run around and be free, and I couldn't run around and be free. So, it was a good time when we ended up leaving. Like, we loved our time, and I was ready to, like, move towards our end goal.
Yeah. I guess it, like, as you mentioned, that it was living tiny within a city, to where what we're kind of used to is desert, forest, living in a camper, like a little bit more nature sided, where there was like you were more of incognito living tiny rather than like where we're at right now.
Right. Which is a way of living tiny. There's like a whole part of this community that lives like that. And that just, I feel like, is a great example of how different personalities choose different ways of living, and both can thrive in tiny situations. And just knowing that about yourself, like, I could never live tiny in a city. I don't think I could just live in the city, period. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's important to mention.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I mean, with tiny home tours, the tours that do better are actually the people that are living within a city and living tiny, because that's more of the natural thing. Not everybody can come out here and work remotely and be good with, you know, this particular type of setup.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's a smaller number of people. Not that that's good or bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So after Florida, we cruised up to Indiana for morel mushroom hunting.
It's yes.
Been a tradition. Like, some of my earliest memories are mushroom hunting with the family, to where, like, I literally think one of my earliest memories that I remember as a little kid is stepping on a mushroom and crying. Like, just absolutely devastated that I didn't see it. And I mean, like, barely, like, walking, like, holding parents' hands. Aww. Yeah. And just bawling my eyes out. But it's something that I've done pretty much every year, as far back as I can remember. And Linnea has been privy to our secret spots now.
I got some important info.
But it was kind of a slow season. Basically, with morel mushrooms, at least in Indiana where I'm from, if it freezes, like if it warms up and then freezes again, the season's kind of, like, it's cut back a ton.
But
so,
even what we found is, would be, like, so great for people that, mm-hmm. like where you guys go is, I mean, a treasure hole.
So basically the reason why it's so unique where we're able to go, my grandfather and uncle helped this farmer build some structures on this property, like 80s, like old school way back in the day. And ever since then, he's allowed us to go on the property to where he only lets like maybe 3 or 4 different families on his property, and we're one of them. Unfortunately, they're going to be cutting it. Like, a lot of the trees were marked, and once that happens, once they go through a forest, the mushrooms are essentially gone. Like, it takes like 10 years for them to come back. So this might have been the last year for us hunting in that spot. We have some backup spots and everything, but I'm still waiting on the video. Linnea did a foraging video out there to where she did a bunch of research. I'll let you talk about that. But it was really cool being on the land that I've only been after one particular, it's not species, but one particular thing, because you have the gooseneck mushrooms, black, gray, and yellow mushrooms, and sometimes we find coxcombs out there. But we're just out there for mushrooms, where she was finding all sorts of edible plants that I had no idea were out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of wonderful spring ephemerals that pop up in that type of forest in the Midwest and whatnot. And since the mushrooms, they weren't as
plentiful,
as thick as they have been in the past, I was like, well, let's harvest some other wild edibles. And so I think I ended up harvesting like 6 different kind of wild edibles and created a meal out of them. I'm almost done with the video. I've been sidetracked with other video projects, but it was so fun and it was so cool. And my favorite was, oh my gosh, cut leaf. I can't remember why the name is escaping me, but it's like a starred leaf. It has one little flower stalk eventually, but the root is like this very, it tastes like wasabi, and it looks like a little peanut, sort of, and it's so good. And I ended up mixing that with some garlic mustard, wild garlic mustard, and putting it over some other like wild edibles. And we harvested chicken of the woods along with morels and some other leafy greens. And with that little like spicy root, like in that pesto and the garlic mustard, and spread it over everything. It was so freaking good.
It was amazing.
It was so good. And the Velcro plant, and I also learned a lot throughout it too, because the Velcro plant was very good. It was very like tasty, but I know that I needed to choose like younger of the species and just make it more tender. And yeah, it was so fun to learn about it, and I'm really excited to do it again next spring.
I mean, we learned the same with pheasant back mushrooms too.
Yeah,
because I've seen pheasant backs out there my entire life, and you know, with mushrooms you obviously have to be careful and never harvest them. So we started playing with that, trying to cook that, but you do have to get younger
mm-hmm. species. And they're delicious if they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you can't even bite through them. It's like trying to choose through a tire.
Literally.
Yeah.
So visiting family, hanging out with family, doing all that stuff. And then after that, the plan was to head down to Georgia for, basically your family does travel adventure type stuff to where you go to a spot. The plan was for me to go. And then I had a family member end up having a pretty serious medical issue, so I ended up staying for that. But Linnea went down to Georgia to hang out with family while I stayed in Indiana. And that's part of the extension in the Midwest a little bit. Because the plan was to do mushrooming, then Georgia, then out west, then heading towards Bali. Out west. Oh, yes. Bali, too. So we had a lot of travel planned this spring. So you went to Georgia. I don't know if you want to touch base on how that was.
It was great. Family trip was great. Afterwards, I traveled for a little bit up the coast, and I just have spent no time on the East Coast. I mean, here and there, but not like I have out here. And I found a really beautiful spot on Hip Camp, and basically, I was, like, brought into this marsh. The owner of the land brought me into a marsh, and it was so beautiful. There were ripe blackberries everywhere. There's also a video on this. Ripe blackberries everywhere. And Akilah and I hiked deeper into the marsh to the water and camped there, and it was absolutely amazing. And I learned that South Carolina has some of the largest wolf spiders I have ever seen in my life. So it was gorgeous, beautiful, absolutely fell in love with the place, and I know now that I can't live there. That's all I have to say about that. But it was great. It was awesome. I loved being over there.
So while she was doing that, I was hanging out in Indiana, helping out with some stuff. And then we had planned on a trip to go to Bali. A friend of ours was getting eloped in Bali, and they invited us to go to help them do some video and photo, just hang out with them in Bali. And with the family members, medical issue, we decided to stay in the States and stay in Indiana and help out with that, which was part of the extension as well. So we were going to be over there for 2 weeks, and basically what it boiled down to is didn't feel right gallivanting over in Bali, because the medical issue is not one that's going to improve ever. It's only going to get worse as time goes on. So just at that time, helping around the house, helping with whatever we could while we're in Indiana was the plan and goal. So basically, with that in mind, we did hang out until things stabilized a bit. Basically, with chemo and radiation, slowed things down to the point to where we figured it was a good time to head over to Kansas, where Dark Wolf Artisans, the shop that I'm part owner / investor in, trying to figure some things out there, met up with the team. Good to see everybody, hang out, see everything going on there. And then finally,
and I got to meet John, Luke, and Jackie.
That's true. And I got to meet John, Luke, and Jackie. John Luke's been on Tiny Home Tours team for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I've never met him in person. The one of the side treats of working on the road and working remote, like Allison, who's been with Tiny Home Tours for like 4 years now, 4 years plus, 5 years plus now. I've only met her once.
Crazy.
Crazy stuff. So met them, hung out with Wes, hung out with Kevin, Rich, everybody at the shop, and then
I want to talk about John, Luke, and Jackie.
Okay.
So I met John, Luke, and Jackie. And Jackie does pottery on the road, so she throws on the road, or what?
These.
Oh, yeah, these. We're drinking out of them. I was like, why are you making that weird face with your mug? Yeah, and so she throws on the road, or they find, like, a studio wherever they end up, and she makes these beautiful, beautiful mugs. And so I got to go in and hang out with them one night and look at all of her mugs. And she goes to like schoolie and van events and sells them. And yeah, I fell in love with them. So I ended up buying 5 mugs. 2 for me / Chris.
This is my favorite one, but it's not technically mine.
I couldn't part with it. I love that mug.
I understand.
And he never even wanted to look at the mugs.
Because you bought all of them.
No. There were like 30 mugs.
Really?
Their counters were full.
I had no idea.
I chose 5 of them. Anyway, I freaking love her pottery. They're like so my jam, so my style. And I'm just really excited about it.
I had no idea that there were 30 in there. Like, basically...
There were probably more than 30.
The whole time I was there, like, by the end of the day, I was so just mentally exhausted because there was so much going on and trying to fit it in. So I'll have to check it out when we meet up with him on the road. We might see him soon.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, overall, like, right now we're in the Colorado Mountains. We're finally out west. Linnea's finally back to her roots. But I think the main thing is, and I don't know if we touched on this in the last podcast, but I don't think we had any real idea how long we would be in the Midwest after winter off-grid. Like, that kind of, that one decision cascaded into 9 months in the Midwest, which was crazy to think about.
That's the longest I've been in the Midwest since I lived there, since I was in high school.
It's just crazy to think about, like, that one project, how much time and prep and just, like, the food, getting the rigs ready, changing things in rigs, and then doing that for 3 to 4 months, which would lead to an extra 5 months.
Yeah.
I guess it's lessons learned.
Yeah.
But I don't regret it. Like, it was fun hanging out with family for that long. Florida was amazing. I'm glad that I was there to help out when things were discovered and
all
that. So
that timing was, while the whole thing was unfortunate, that timing was fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I guess the last thing in the Midwest, got a hernia surgery, which was, I absolutely hated the process, but I'm glad it's done. And that was kind of one of those things that I was wanting to do while I was back in the Midwest, just researched a good doctor. Process went well, still recovering from that, and then hopefully here soon be able to start going into backcountry and doing some fishing.
Yep.
Anything else from the last podcast to now in terms of what we did?
I don't believe so. I had a failed trip going up north. I went home to my family, spent some really quality time with my mom and my brother for my brother's first Father's Day. But I tried to go up to Sylvania Wilderness and do a few nights canoeing into the wilderness with Aquila. But the mosquitoes were the worst mosquitoes I've ever experienced in my life. So I ended up not doing that, not putting her through that. And then recently, about a week ago, I had planned a route to head into the wilderness for 6 days, just me and Aquila. So we'll be heading out this week for that, and I'm just, like, feel like I'm back. I've been struggling the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's easier for me to kind of fit in and just be okay with where I'm at, I think you have more of a, like, this is where your battery's recharged, to where for me, as long as I'm just by myself alone somewhere, I can recharge fairly quickly. It doesn't matter where I'm at, where I feel like you have to be in a particular setting. And this is a pretty good setting to recharge.
Yeah, I think I get, like, I too can be happy anywhere for an extent of time, but I also feel so deeply that our life is incredibly short in a way. Like, I also feel like it's incredibly long and we have time to do so many things that we want to do. So I kind of, like, feel both of those. But when I'm in an area where I cannot do the things that I'm really, really passionate about, or I can't, like, live in what I feel is the real world, which is, like, this, like, our earth, like, it sounds so hippy-dippy, but, like, our earth, the nature, everything that it can teach us, like, that feels real versus the city setting that I do feel is quite contrived and made up and, like, people are forced into that. That doesn't feel right to me. And so I can be happy in those situations for an extended amount of time, but I also I'm, like, very strong and clear passions for where I want to live life and how I want to live life.
I think a good example of that was... while we were in Indiana, we had some massive storms roll through.
Oh, those were amazing. Those were so cool.
And the power went out. And, like, there's many aspects to that. Like, I wish I had my big bus there so everybody would have AC, yada, yada, yada. But we had to order food out because we couldn't cook because my aunt has electric stovetop and oven and all that. So we tried to order pizza. And just the mayhem from that experience and gas running out and certain gas stations being open versus not open, the amount of mayhem that went on with that, like the power being out.
Because people, like stores were closed too, so people couldn't go get groceries. I mean, it was, like we could cook in the van, but not for a full family, you know. So stores were out. Even just getting to Pizza Hut to order pizza was like, stoplights are out. There's like these like 4 or 6 way stops.
People are honking at each other, almost ramming each other. It was crazy.
Yeah. Everybody in the pizza, like Chris stayed in the van, but I was like going in to check the pizza order.
I was fresh off a hernia surgery.
Yeah. And so I would go in to check and it took, I think over 2 hours for our pizza to be delivered because they said that they had received like a crazy amount. I don't remember the exact number, but like a crazy amount of orders.
It's like, I think you said like 195.
Hour, something crazy. And people were in there and they were pissed. Like going up, the workers at one point started crying. People are going up being like, you know, yelling at them, being like, where's my order? I've been waiting for this amount of time. And the workers are like, they've been waiting just as long as you. Like, clearly everything is crazy and people just need to have some grace.
some empathy,
some grace. Like, oh my gosh, it was wild, but a really crazy time to people watch and like really step outside and, you know, be in it, but also like, oh my gosh, look at this chaos and how it's affecting people and how they're reacting. What an experience. And it was kind of exciting too.
Yeah, Linnea likes it when things kind of fall apart, because I think it goes back to your point of the real world versus the made-up cityscape. As long as things are going smooth, everything's good. If you throw a wrench in there, things get pretty dicey.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. So, that was a fun experience.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And the storms were really beautiful. They were really odd, like very creepy, eerie, like it had like interesting energy around it for sure. The clouds were just very ominous and yeah, it was cool. I'm kind of glad that we got to be there for that.
But it is kind of comparing and contrasting up here in the mountains, living off solar, our water supply, our food supply, and being self-sufficient versus having that experience. Like, it is nice to be back in that. And I don't have Zep 2 right now. I have little mini bus, feather bus, 4-window, downsizing so we can get to more backcountry stuff. So we can go where Linnea wants to go.
I told them yesterday I was eating, because I've been, you know, cooking every night, walking down there, watching the sunset, looking for whatever animals. And last night I said, I think this is the best time that I've ever had with you, are these few days of being up in the mountains, because this is the first time that we've been able to live in a way that is like merging both of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Where before, like with the big bus,
there's no way I could make it up here.
No. And so it was me, like, I feel like giving up is a really strong word, but that's what it felt like. Me giving up the life that I've built to spend time with him because he couldn't access any of the things that I love to do.
Yeah, the first time we actually did something backcountry.
It was because the bus broke down.
Yeah, I threw a drive shaft going 50 miles per hour on the interstate. So we were living in the van and kind of opened my eyes up to it. Because, I mean, I think it's stages, because a lot of times with my work with Tiny Home Tours, we're closer to events, and events typically lend to places where a lot of people can get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be filming, and then I'd just kind of take time by myself in nature because I'd be mentally drained. And that was kind of the rotation that I did. Where now with this, like, being that I've... So since 2009, I've been upgrading. So the very first van I had, which is a soccer mom van, to Zep 2, to a Class A motorhome, to Zep 2, which is a 40-foot school bus, 34,000 pounds. I've never downsized till now. So as I've progressed, this type of spot where we're at now has been getting further and further away from accessibility, to where now just having the option to take this bus has been a blessing. But now it's, you know, getting out here and doing this stuff.
And I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Like, really?
You're welcome.
Do you feel as though you're, like, are you happy in this bus, or do you feel like this is just a quick vacation from what you typically do?
No, I mean, it's like, that question, the way that I look at it is, it's like, if you love to travel, somebody's like, oh, was backpacking Europe as fun as learning scuba in Thailand? Like, it's like staying at a resort and learning scuba in Thailand, like, it's equal in my mind. It's just different versions of the same thing. So I'm just as happy here. Like, as long as I'm able to work, place to sleep, toilet, shower, it's no factor for me. Cool. I think the only thing, like, right now is just figuring out the rig of, like, storing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what needs to go where. And then getting small things that I'm just used to having in the big bus. And it's not like, oh, I need to replicate the big bus, but it's like something as small as a 12-volt charger that goes in the outlet.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't thinking about that until I got on the road. There's just so many small things like that that I'm going to have to navigate and figure out. But I think once I get the rig set up, like, I don't have any solid plans of getting the big bus. Like, this is my home for the... for the foreseeable future. And Zep 2 is just being used at the shop in Kansas as we have contractors and different people come in to work at the shop, videographers and all that. They'll have a solid place to stay and not have to worry about, you know, being uncomfortable while they're there. So it's still being used, not selling it, not getting rid of it. No way, ever.
Mm-mm. And there were some really cool upgrades to it too. Your big bus. Yeah, your big bus.
After the winter off grid?
Yeah, your whole bed.
Oh,
it looks really, really good.
So the bed used to go north to south. Now it's east to west. Kobe's has a little cubby in there, and it has some storage underneath.
It makes it look so much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Now there's, like, seating area back there.
Yeah. It was a good move, for sure.
Because basically, when I built the bus, I screwed up the design for the water tanks and basically made them non-removable, where now it's removable. But also, just the side of the bed, I never really used it. It was just wasted space. Like, it was basically storage.
Or it's where all the junk would land.
Right. Right. So, bus is updated with that.
And a new couch.
New couch. That was more of a... It looks good. I sat on it.
Oh.
It's not as comfy as the last one. But just got a new couch in there for business stuff. But it is really cool. I think it just needs, like, we need to have, like, some sort of way to prop our feet up.
Yeah.
But we'll get that figured out if and when... We're back in the big bus. Right now, it's the mini. Actually, we're working on a 4x4. And
that thing's a monster.
That 4x4 could definitely make it up here.
So Chris is thinking maybe when that 4x4 is done, he might take that.
I got to make sure it's good for the road.
You're so, like, it's so interesting. We are so similar in so many ways, and we are so different in many other ways.
Like, what?
I am so attached to my van. I cannot not be in my, even when we were at Tina, even when we were at Tina's at your aunt's, most of my time I was just in the van. I was sleeping in the van. We were sleeping in the van.
As long as it wasn't too hot
out. As long as it wasn't too hot. I just am so attached to it. And you're just, like, so good with doing whatever, like, going in, whatever vehicle, whatever. You're just very flexible with that.
I think it's not sweating the small stuff. And like you said, life's short.
Are you saying I sweat the small stuff, babe?
No.
Huh?
I'm saying that it's really not that big of a deal for me. Because I've had multiple rigs over the years. I was very attached to the first van. I was really sad when it sold. I obviously bought Zep 2 back. Like, I still have the sentimental, but it's not like...
Zep 1,
yeah. The camper van. It's not like the bus is gone forever and I'm never going to see it again. Yeah, it's kind of where my head goes. Like, yeah, I'll get back to it eventually. But right now, this is totally fine.
Yeah.
I like it. So, that's basically an update to right now. We can, hoping to get back to do these every week. Let this plane go by.
Yesterday I made a little mishap. I posted a a few photos on my Instagram, and it was a cute little carousel of time in the mountains together, and I made these really delicious meatballs. And I took this overhead picture of the meatballs that I posted. And then Chris came into the van and said, hey, you know those pictures that you just posted? The one of the meatballs shows a little bit more than just the meatballs.
She thought it was hilarious.
So funny, because the picture includes both of our legs and a little bit more in the photo.
It's a very elegant way of saying it.
Thank you.
We just have a couple questions today.
Thanks for felicitating this conversation.
All right. Questions for today. What kind of breed is Cobes? He's a Husky Shepherd. Katanandu. Sorry if I mispronounce that. Any healthy tips for couples in bus/van life struggling with having me time? What you got?
I am all about the separate rigs, man.
What, you don't like me and Cobes in there?
No, I do love you in here. I also love when it's just me and you in there. No, I think that we have the best setup because we both get our own time to do what we want to do. I do think that it would be really hard. Well, granted, my van is really short. I have a 136 wheelbase, and I do think like a 2 foot longer, like that does give you extra space. But I guess it's hard because I've never lived with somebody in a really, really tiny space, like on the road like this. I don't know. What do you think?
I like having the separate rigs, because even when I'm in your van, I feel like I'm in your space.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing.
Something together. Like, imagine if we had built it together, then it's our space.
Right. But you already have your rig that you're not getting rid of.
Yeah.
And, like, I think if we use yesterday as an example, like, woke up, got all the solar out and ready to go, and then we hung out a little bit in the morning. And then I got to work, and we were just kind of bouncing back and forth from rigs, hanging out. We then, towards 5-6 o'clock, we walked down to the little valley down here, brought our binoculars, looked for animals, flew a drone, ate dinner, and then you read your book, and I listened to my audiobook before we went to bed. Then went to bed. So we had our separate space, yes. And then we came together for certain things.
So I think I have three. I would say yes to, like, that's a beautiful description, because the majority of our day really was spent doing our own thing in our own rigs. So if that's a possibility, I think that's awesome, because I do really do, like, believe in individuality and autonomy within relationships. I've been in relationships where that's not a thing. And, it's beautiful to be apart and come together. Two, which is something that you mentioned, is being together but being absorbed in what, like, our own thing. Like, we were laying together in the bed, kind of cuddling, but you're listening to your audiobook, I'm absorbed in my book, we're spending time together, but still, like, doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And then also, I think a third thing that is really important in relationships is to continue doing the things that you love, regardless if your partner can join you or not, or wants to join you or not.
I think partner supporting.
Yeah.
Because you can still do what you want, but if they're not supporting and being understanding, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be like a negative, net negative overall, yeah. In my opinion.
I agree. I'm about to say. Like, I'm about to leave Chris for 6 days. Akilah and I are going to go do some cool stuff in the wilderness. And if he was not supportive of that, or was like, no, you need to wait 2 weeks so that I can go with you, that would feel a little bit more stifling than like, hey, babe, that's awesome. Cobes and I'll go chill elsewhere. See you when you get out. When you get out, we'll do a shorter hike together up to go fishing. Awesome. And so I just feel as though that's super important and something that we're really good at in this relationship.
I agree.
Those are my thoughts. Those are our thoughts.
I mean, I think it is, like, as long as both partners understand if somebody wants alone time, it's not, like, anything negative. And I think it's easy for us. We have a cheat code with this because we both need alone time to recharge. So it's not, because I think some people don't need that. Like, their recharge is actually being around people.
Yeah.
To where I think both of us, it's just naturally intuitive to who we are to both need that. So it's easy for us. Like, it's not like you wanting to do the 6 days. I have no bearing myself on feeling any way about it. It's like, I hope you're safe. Bring your bear spray. Like, that's the only thing that goes through my mind. Like, yeah, she's going to love it out there. Like, that'll be awesome for her to recharge after being in the Midwest so long. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I need to find a good fishing spot.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have 6 days of hanging out, and me and Cobes will do that. Like, that simple.
Yeah. But it's also not like our alone time. I like that you said that it's intuitive, because it is. Like, we both kind of just, like, fall into our days that include a lot of alone time. But it's not like I walk over to the bus and you're like, whoa, 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 get out, I need alone time. It's not like that.
Except when I'm trying to poop and you try and break into the bus. She will not let me poop alone.
Yes, I have.
She wants to be there when I poop, and it hurts her feelings when I want alone time, and she thinks it's weird.
Well, I think that I've pooped in front of you so many times, and you won't even let me in the same bus.
I literally have to lock the bus door because I know she'll try and get in. It literally happened this morning.
I needed a bowl. You had my bowl in there. Okay, but to be fair, I do it kind of because I know that I get a rise out of him. When I jiggle the door and he goes, babe! Stop it! I love it.
Noted. Now you know what I deal with.
Okay.
Jamie, will you ever do a Canadian winter or Alaskan winter? This is on Facebook now, by the way.
You have done, but not in a van.
No. I probably, after this winter off-grid, I don't know if I never need to do that again.
Same.
It was super fun, but just the prep and then the cleanup, like, it was just so much where we could be out here and just flow with the weather. I'm glad we did it. 100%. Melissa Ann, what do you guys do for health insurance? I have health insurance. It's a more of a catastrophic health insurance, so it's not too expensive per month. I think it's like $250 per month. The deductibles are high. The coverage is iffy, but if I get in a wreck or break a bone or something like that, knock on wood, it'll cover it. So I just won't go bankrupt, essentially.
I have a really great health insurance for Aquila. It's about $85 a month, and it covers a lot. It covers everything.
And I have health insurance on Kobe's, too. Susie, where is our home?
You see this thing right here? That's my home.
Mine is the world. Wherever I'm at. You like that?
Whatever. Rain? Oh, that's a good freaking question. That Randy should say welfare. In the van.
Does the dog ever have an accident on the bus?
How about you tell everybody about Kobe's experience in the van? Can I say also, Kobuck spends a lot of time in the van. He loves the van. Primarily when we're traveling, I take him because he's more comfortable driving in the van than the bus. I think just because of noise.
And yeah, he's definitely more comfortable in the van because I think it's the wind. But more recently, Kobe's had a few accidents in the van. On the way back from Florida to Indiana, I was in the middle of a meeting. Linnea was driving, and there was just this like, Kobuck's, like, he likes to come up and look, and he whines a little bit, and then he goes back. He was doing that, and we were going through a city, so didn't think much of it. Then there's just this horrible, horrible smell. And we look back, and Kobe's paws are a little brown. And basically what happened is he pooped in the kennel because he had to go to, like...
He pooped in the kennel and in my living room.
Bunny. So basically what happens is when Kobe's isn't in a vehicle for a while and then you put him back in a vehicle, he gets a little extra nervous. So it wasn't like just a normal poop. It was like diarrhea, nervous poop.
It was pure liquid.
Yeah.
It was pure liquid. I'm like, oh my gosh, it smells like somebody just took a shit in my van. I turn around and I said, holy shit, Kobuk just shit everywhere. And Akilah's just on the bed looking at me like, Mom.
We can laugh about it now.
Oh, Chris was pissed.
Because we had to pull over and we're going through Miami.
Yeah.
And we did not pull over. It's super hot.
Super busy.
We didn't pull over in the nicest neighborhood. We're trying to find a laundromat.
There's poop all over my floor, all over Akilah's kennel, on the freaking walls, up onto my little seat cushion on my bed.
So we had to find a laundromat. We got everything washed, threw away some stuff. And that was one time.
Yeah, it happened. It's happened more than once.
And then we're back in Indiana visiting family. We go to the grocery store. We go to the grocery store and we come out and Kobuk has pooped on the passenger seat / the middle console.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was like in the front of the van. Another nice and liquidy one. And the thing is, he doesn't have diarrhea that much.
And like, what's so funny,
I don't know what it is.
I think he just gets a little bit stressed. And I think that he really has to poop before we go anywhere. Like he has to have time outside to go poop.
But he does have a lot of time outside.
Not back then. I'm the one always that takes them out to go run around in the mornings. And
true.
At that point, I remember we just went to the grocery store in the morning. That's good. Okay, I do remember this because you were cleaning it up and I was eating my jackfruit that I just got. And you were like, how are you eating that with this smell? Yep, I remember now. So yeah, I don't think he's ever done that in the bus, only the van.
Never in the bus. Maybe he just feels comfortable in the van.
Yeah, to let it all out. No, it was...
So he's had a couple accidents.
Pretty gross.
James, what's up, James? Did you ever connect your fridge to 12 volt? Yes, so in Zep 2, the 12 volt fridge is connected, and right now I have a very small 12 volt fridge. Oh, look, a bird is collecting the dog hair.
Oh,
nest.
Nice.
We love to see that.
Look at all of it.
So I just brushed Kobuk and Akilah the other day, and there's a bunch of dog hair. We always say, this would be great for birds, and there's actually a bird over there collecting it. See a bird. And then we'll do a podcast next week on plans and rigs and all that. I'm sure we're going long right now. Thanks for watching, everybody. Anything else to add?
Have a wonderful day. No.
I'm about to put the bus through the test on a downhill. It was a very steep climb to get up here. I'm going to test the bus brakes. We're going to put Kobuk in the van on the way down. Hopefully he doesn't have to poop. And just in case something happens with the bus, I don't want Kobuk in there. At least I have a seatbelt. So we're going to test the little mini bus and see how it does on downhill grades.
I don't think it's that steep. It's pretty steep. Yep.
Maybe I'm just used to the big bus. That stuff makes me nervous.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Bye, everybody. I got work to do here.
7:14. Nope. And then can we do podcast after? That's podcast.
They're called podcasts.
Podcasts. Beautiful. That's great. Now we can have it in sequential order so that we can keep things organized. All right, babe. Come here.
I've had enough of your sass.
Camping where you spend a small fortune to live like a homeless person. Can you send me that photo?
Babe, am I your photographer?
Yeah!
Do you have your phone?
Look at these paws sticking out.
I got a couple. You can look through them if you want.